practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Get ready to connect to the voice within. Discover how to live the soul-directed life with your host, Janet Connor.
Welcome. Welcome to the soul-directed life, the radio show that for 6 years has helped you notice, recognize, and respond to the calls bubbling up constantly from within your own soul, your own divine wisdom. This is how we can live joy-filled, love-filled, soul-directed lives. I'm your host, Janet Connor. I am a prayer artist, a deep soul explorer, field guide in the mystic, an author of many books you love, including the one that everybody picks up at this time of the year, The Lotus and the Lily, accessing the wisdom of Buddha and Jesus to create a truly beautiful and abundant life, because their teachings are 180 degrees different from all of the prosperity books you have ever read. We are returning to your divine essence to give birth to 2019, to give birth to the sacred medicine that is waiting to be expressed in the only way it can be expressed, in and through and as you, in a world that is hungry for sacred medicine. If your heart is pounding with a yes to that invitation, please come after the show to janetconnor.com and register for The Lotus and the Lily. We open a live global community on Monday, November the 12th. So after writing 7 books, I am, of course, working on a new book. This is a prayer book, but the more I study the prayer, the more I think I'm actually writing a new genre of prayer, a brand new kind of prayer book that has never existed before. In this book, you, the reader, will move through 5 progressively deeper layers of communion with the divine. And I mean that word very bodily, very realistically. This is communion with the divine. So how do we begin? We're going to prepare to experience the prayer. Then we're going to savor it as what it really is, a love song bearing divine kisses. Then we're going to pause to consider the changes that embracing this prayer will make in your life. And then finally, say yes, if you consent, if you trust, then you carry this prayer into your being. You embody it. And then, of course, you rest. Every pregnant woman can tell you this. You rest because you are now, as Rumi said, everybody is like Mary, giving birth to a Jesus inside. Well, you now carry the seed of divine love in you. So this is how I'm seeing and hearing and feeling prayer now. They're love songs. This is my definition of prayer. Love songs of your personal, intimate, mystical communion with the beloved. Source, spirit, Sophia, the goddess, the divine, any languaging you put around this river of grace. The prayers coming through me, they don't look like prayers. I look at them on the page and say, wait a second, this doesn't look like any prayer I've ever seen, and it doesn't even exactly look like a poem. So I started to say them out loud. Well, as I spoke the first few out loud, I could hear and then feel this internal rhythm pattern, and I began to sort of move with the pattern, and then I realized, oh, I get it. These are lyrics. These are love songs. Prayer really is love songs with the beloved. So, of course, on the radio show, I only want to talk about prayer. And if you were with me last week, you know that this month, November, is the last month of the soul-directed life. I am not ending this radio show because I don't love it or because you don't love it. The listenership grows every month, and there have been well over 230,000 downloads, and I have loved every single minute of finding exactly the right guests for you. Today's guest is a perfect example of finding a book, a message, sacred food, a book that you absolutely want to hear, that you absolutely want to experience now. But Prayer Artist is calling me to change everything. Were you with me when Sandra Ingerman said, Janet, Prayer Artist is your sacred medicine. It's the food I'm here to feed the world. And so right now, I'm working on a new website. You'll be able to see it after the winter solstice that reflects my life as a prayer artist. I am now leading prayer intensives. Perhaps you have been invited or accepted the invitation to come to any of the three Ho'oponopono prayer intensives that we have had. And the soul-directed life has sort of nodded her sweet head and agreed to step aside to create the space for a brand new podcast on prayer. It'll come out, I think, on Valentine's Day next year, and it will be called Praying at the Speed of Love. If you don't currently get my Notes from the Field Sunday newsletter, come and register, because that's how you'll know about all of the deep soul explorations, all the prayer intensives, what's happening on the new website, prayers as they come out, the first prayer videos, and the new podcast. You notice things are happening at the speed of love, not just to Janet. They're happening in the world. We are all moving at the speed of grace. And so how perfect today that we are blessed to be with Miranda McPherson, and we are going to step with her into the way of grace. What we are about to hear has the potential to change us and change us at depth. Listen, as the voice of the Tibetan bowl calls you to open the ears of your heart that you may hear and feel and know what wants to be heard. What a sweet song she has today. What a sweet, sweet song. This is the first time Miranda's been with us, so let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a world-renowned spiritual teacher. I think many, many listeners of The Soul-Directed Life already have her book and know about her. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area now, but she created the One Spirit Interfaith Foundation in London, where she trained over 600 ministers. But today she joins us from her home in San Rafael, Marin County, paradise in Northern California, where she leads an incredible Sangha, the Living Grace Sangha. I invite all the listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area to come and learn more about that Sangha. I'll be posting all this at Jana Conner, The Soul Directed Life, the Facebook page dedicated to this show. We are so blessed to welcome you, Miranda. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the best part of the show is the first part of the show. The guests always invite us to open our hearts to begin to experience. Would you please open our hearts to
Absolutely.
Grace?
I'm all about that. Well, make sure that you're just sitting somewhere comfortable where you won't be disturbed, and put your cell phone away, or better still, turn it off. And just take this moment to give your full attention to your inner life. And so begin by just putting your focus on the rise and fall of your breath. And consider each inhale as a welcome. Just a welcome into this moment. Receiving the life-giving oxygen that comes with the breath. Receiving the holding of the chair, the floor, whatever your body touches. receiving the sound of my voice that invites you to just be here. And on the exhale, let something melt, just like ice naturally melts in the warmth of the sun. Feel as if body tension is just melting. Feel the following of thoughts melting. Feel any thoughts about needing to fix yourself, improve yourself, rearrange yourself. Let that melt. And find yourself naturally just being drawn in and down to recognize that you are already in and part of the ground of grace, that the physical ground that you can feel with your body is just the outer crust of an immense support that may feel as if you're sitting in an infinite mountain that has no boundary. That welcomes you just to be here, to be nothing, do nothing, get nothing, become nothing, seek for nothing, relinquish nothing, just be as you are, just rest in God. Just as we receive the light that creates the day without effort at all, so recognize you're not only resting within infinite ground, infinite support. Consider the possibility that right here and now, you also exist within an infinite shower of light. As if all the enlightened beings, all the bodhisattvas, all subtle dimensions of grace are just completely bathing you and all of us with all the subtle nutrients we could possibly need. Just feel yourself in and part of the light, pervaded by it, reclaimed by the light. Be as you are. Rest in God.
That's such a precious evocative sentence to just, I can't exactly hold on to it because it is so ephemeral, but rest in God, rest in God, rest, rest in God.
That's right. That's what it's really all about, is to just come back, to rest, to relax into what is always here, even when you think it's not. And this is the one resolution. This is what resets us back into reality when we get lost or we can't figure something out or when we've fallen into some ego pattern, the beginning of every solution is to come back to just being here as we are, not trying to fix it, not trying to resolve, not even reaching for a prayer, just being right here, ceasing and desisting the usual manipulation to try to fix, get, change, rearrange. Rest in God first, then see what happens.
Because it's such an exquisite paradox that resting in God actually creates this. Words are so difficult to, but then everything flows. The language that has come to me in the past year is speed of love, speed of love. I'm living at the speed of love, praying at the speed of love. And it is fast, and yet it isn't upsetting fast. It isn't, you know, where you're trying desperately to say, wait a second, you know, and you're trying to hold on. No, this is the speed of love. And so it just comes.
Sure. Well, when we relax into God consciousness, which is not a you and a me, not even a me and a God, when we relax into that primordial foundation of all that really is, what happens is linear time disappears. And so there's all sorts of possibilities that come back online within us that transcend often, you know, the laws of the world that we know, that give us an opportunity to allow the miraculous to find us freshly in the minutiae of our ordinary lives.
Well, you've just described exactly what has been happening to me all year, because I did not plan. I couldn't have planned Prayer Artist. It came on a wave of grace in the middle of the night, and all I had to do was say, oh, yes, you want me to be your prayer artist? I'll be your prayer artist. And everything is simply, it feels like just waves of change, but they're beautiful change. And this, but the languaging of just rest in grace, rest in God. That's the perfect languaging around the state.
It gives us a true vacation from the and the struggle of what a very dear friend and member of my Sangha, Neil Rogan, calls our Migo.
Right? Oh, is that precious? Our
Isn't
Migo.
Great? Our Migo, which is basically our familiar sense of self, that takes the familiar patterns and thought streams and our history and, you know, all the things that we can't help but identify with to be what we are. And of course, at the core of that is insecurity and fear, because our ego structure, our ego, isn't ontologically real. And that's why our ego feels insecure and afraid fundamentally. But we tend to think, oh my God, that's a terrible problem. What we don't realize is, no, that's just the truth of the matter. You know, your ego actually is limited. It doesn't mean it's wrong or bad, but you want to come to know who you are deeper than that. Otherwise, there's no possibility to really have the fear and the insecurity resolved. Yeah. So really what I'm teaching people is a practice of ego relaxation, which is how authentic surrender and spiritual deepening can happen, and how that can help us to navigate through the more dense features of our ego that every single one of us meets as we turn more substantially within: fear, control, judgment, defenses, and helps us relax into a larger field of unity and love and holding that is always here, even when we think it's not, or even if that isn't yet our emotional reality, so that we can allow for deeper transformation of our core identity itself, and come to really abide in the boundless depths of our true nature. That is really what changes things at the core. When our familiar sense of me gives way to the luminosity of firstly being nothing and no one, that is really the gate to knowing, not just conceptually, but in our whole being, I am. And it's not an affirmation. It's not just a wonderful statement or feeling. It's the recognition that, you know, you are not only the one you are one, but you're the one perceiving everything, and that one is in you too, right? And St. Francis of Assisi said it beautifully. He said, the one you are looking for is the one who is looking. So we recognize that who and what we really are is not just an I like the letter I, it's an I like an actual I of God. And that we are all eyes of God. And when we recognize that and experience it, it's so beautiful, so freeing, so liberating. It gives us the possibility to find a whole new way to walk in this world from a consciousness that isn't bound by it. And therefore, to really participate in the evolution of our world and become more beautiful, graceful, noble human beings who are capable of responding and collaborating and helping everyone else to find some new possibility in these times that, frankly, I think could really do with a few more of us being more graceful.
And you couldn't have planned it, because obviously we write books in it well in advance of when they come out, but the timing of your book, The Way of Grace, is beyond perfect, right?
Well, I think so too. And it was very interesting because my publishers really wanted me to just go with the subtitle, The Transforming Power of Ego Relaxation. And I was insistent, no, the title has to be The Way of Grace. And I now understand why I felt that so powerfully, that the transmission of grace and the importance of grace in our world, because I think what we've been seeing in the last couple of years in particular has been egocentricity on crack. And, you know, frankly, it's been heartbreaking and painful to see the level of polarization, the escalation and expression of hatred, the egocentricity that is so divisive and painful to behold. And I really think at the deepest level, it's coming out of the underbelly of fear and the difficulty that egos have when things are very uncertain. And there's a simple fact, you know, these are very uncertain times. And so I think we need to get better at grounding ourselves in that which always is, in that which is never rocked and never changes, so we can open our heart to the paradoxes of uncertainty, discord, difficulty, and really allow a deeper humanity to be born in us. And there's a line that I remember singing when I was in my 20s, when I was practicing in a Sufi order, and the line was, out of the womb of the human heart, God is born. And I think that's really important right now, that it is our task to be resting in the divine, in full awareness, to be doing our best and learning what we can to ground ourselves in what always is, so that our heart can open to a whole other level of divinity and humanity in embodiment in the ordinariness of life.
That was a Sufi chant, out of the womb of the human.
It was a zikr, actually, out of the womb. And I turned it into a chant because I'm musical. So I would sing, out of the womb of the human heart, God is born. Out of the womb of the human heart, God is born. Out of the womb of the human heart, God is born. Out of the womb of the human heart, God is born.
That's really taking my breath away, because with the prayer artist, with all of this deep experience, embodied experience of prayer, the place I have come to in this past year has been that the divine lives in my womb. And my experience of prayer is that this is communion. And I couldn't understand, just like you didn't know why the title had to be The Way of Grace, but excuse me, the title has to be The Way of Grace. I didn't have any intellectual underpinning for why prayer absolutely, positively takes place in and must take place in the womb, because for so long, all of our religious traditions were all in our heads. Right. And then there was, in the past few years, kind of a movement of the heart. Let's get out of our heads and into our hearts. And still, I find myself wanting to go lower, deeper, all the way into the womb.
Yes. I want to share something with you about that because I think you're right on. And the Ramana Maharshi, who was one of my biggest influences, he spoke about when the mind, the thinking doing mind, that thinks it's the doer and seeks outward, subsides into what he called the lotus of the heart. And the lotus of the heart subsides into the holy city of the body, we become the tabernacle of God. Well, that speaks of what Gurdjieff understood about the three primary centers in a human being, the head center, the heart center, and the belly center. And what most people that I meet don't really understand is the importance of the belly center. And when we cultivate sensing practice, when we learn to really embrace our physical vehicle as not just something we drag around that carries our head, but as a truly mystical system, a portal, then we learn how to recognize the sacredness of the body and the importance of embodiment.
This is just so thrilling and exciting to me. And when we come back, we are going to experience how the way of grace carries us into this portal, this fullness, this embodiment, giving birth to God.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. As Unity Online Radio continues to expand its programming and outreach around the world, we depend on the generosity of listeners like you. If you enjoy the programming, please make your donation today by going to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment with Catherine Ponder, taken from a classic talk called The Prosperous Truth, recorded at Unity of Austin in 1991.
God is extravagant supply. Get that, extravagant. God is extravagant supply. He brings forth the best robe. He spreads a banquet table, as we saw last night, with good things on which we may feast. He overflows our cup. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. And then this is what that Unity Correspondence Course said. Why are you satisfied with such meager living when you may have so much?
To find out more about Unity teachings, visit unity.org.
Discover Unity Village, and you'll find a peaceful oasis just 15 miles from downtown Kansas City, Missouri. If you're doing business in the area or looking for the perfect place for your retreat or conference, check out all that Unity Village has to offer. With 1,200 wooded acres, a beautiful nature trail, award-winning rose garden, golf course, and newly redesigned hotel and conference center, Unity Village has everything you need for that perfect event. Go to unityvillage.org to find out more.
If you've been on a spiritual path for a long time, what can you read that's new and exciting? Try Unity Magazine. It's designed for the seasoned spiritual student, with in-depth articles and interviews about spiritual practices and philosophies. Our columnists share their own faith journeys and cover healing, science, and psychology, with even a little scripture thrown in. You'll read some classic authors and some new ones. Get a free trial issue at unitymagazine.org.
Discover the wisdom of Charles Fillmore and other legendary Unity teachers with Reverend Bob Brock and Unity Classic Radio. Every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Central, Bob shares original radio transcripts from the Unity Archives with Truth students worldwide. Explore these timeless teachings and learn how to apply them to your life today. Listen live or on demand. You can also connect with Reverend Bob on his Unity in Action Facebook page. Tune in every Tuesday here on UnityOnlineRadio.org.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
Welcome back to The Soul Directed Life with Janet Connor.
Welcome back to The Soul Directed Life with me, Janet Connor, and Miranda McPherson. And this essential message, medicine, and book right now, The Way of Grace. This word, Miranda, grace, it is so, it vibrates. It's a word that is completely alive to me. Now, I grew up Catholic, and so I was taught, unfortunately, that grace is this thing. It's this thing, you can't do anything about it. Maybe God's going to give it to you, maybe God isn't. And it felt like a noun, and it felt like a noun you better like earn. Right. And then in my own deep soul explorations, my own interspiritual, my own explorations, I began to perceive grace as more like a verb, that yeah. It's a wave and it's carrying me into the fullness of who I am. So could we begin at the beginning with, absolutely. Okay, the book's called The Way of Grace. It had to be called The Way of Grace. Well, what's grace?
Great. I'm happy to speak to that, because in a way, I'm really fleshing out and redefining what grace is and how we engage with it and how it can help us gain traction wherever we are on our spiritual path. So firstly, I want to say that Ramakrishna, who is another Hindu saint, who was just very beautiful, he said something lovely. The winds of grace are always blowing, but it is for us to raise our sails. So grace always is, and our job is to open to it, to be receptive to it. So it's way more than just this beautiful state that gives us the felt sense of the divine, which we might have experienced. And when we do experience it, it feels like a heavenly breeze upon our cheek, as if we're being lovingly caressed and touched by something that we might intuitively know has been there all the time. But the four dimensions of grace, which is the structure of my book, is quite specific. So what we're often not aware of is that grace is the primordial ground of our being, the ground of everything that is. And so we have to begin there first, because the real reason most people don't gain as much traction as they would like on their spiritual path is that they can't quite yet experience this, because that's not their felt experience. And all of us fell from that experience of primordial loving goodness in the early stage of our life, and that happens to us all in forming an ego structure. But the work on the first dimension of grace is learning to relax in and down. So it relates to what we were just talking about the importance of coming down into our body, coming down into our bones, coming down into the ground, and opening to really viscerally sense the fact that the earth does not have an opinion about you. It's just here. It's just loving. It's just providing home, shelter, beauty, everything that you need. And that the earth that we can see and know and touch and enjoy is really the outer crust of really what is primordial infinite ground. So when we turn our consciousness to just consider what caused everything to exist at all, then we recognize, there is this animating force that is birthing everything, creating everything, bringing everything into life, and it's fundamentally loving. And so once we can open ourselves to that, it gives us a way to relax out of fear, because there's something to relax into, to relax those habits of control, because we can start to feel, not only is the ground here, but it's very intelligent. Like, it kind of knows how to run the show when you really observe Mother Nature. You know, she finds a way, in a way that's economical and harmonious and never throws anything away, recycles it. Beautiful. And so that's where I start in the first dimension of grace. And those really with that, it helps us to truly let go of fear, control, defense, and judgment. The second dimension of grace has a different kind of quality to it. it relates more to how most people think of grace. It's like this heavenly shower, right? So it feels like something that somehow comes upon you mysteriously. And when that happens, you feel blessed. You feel revitalized. You feel loved. You feel, oh, wow, you know, that there's a goodness and a grace that is here. But what's interesting is that cultivating certain time-tested spiritual virtues is what makes us receptive and opens that up in our experience. So we have to cultivate trust and work through the obstacles to trust, cultivate humility, which I know isn't very sexy to our ego, but frankly, without it, the crown chakra doesn't open fully. We need to cultivate patience so we can recognize that we don't make grace happen. Our work is relaxing and opening, and that requires patience, not pushing and demanding. And also to cultivate joy that is always here in every moment, even though there might be difficult things happening. We might have just experienced some medical diagnosis that isn't easy. We might have lost somebody who we love very dearly. We might be having to accept changes that we didn't foresee that, you know, don't look like a lot of fun at first. But even still, there's a possibility for joy that we can open to that doesn't come and go. And so these four virtues help us to really feel that divine shower and to feel how grace comes to us in very personal ways, giving us what we need. Grace is also the transforming presence that bridges our consciousness, that opens the shores and helps us cross over to the other shore from our familiar ego identity that's bound in our history to the promised land of boundless love, pure awareness, you know, unchanging primordial bliss and freedom. And so the work in this section is all about how we allow ourselves to be deeply transformed, which essentially comes down to going towards the very things that you wanted to transcend all this time, going deeply in and through that felt sense of not good enough and practicing ego relaxation with it. No fixing, no trying to get over it, no trying to rearrange it, just being there, radically present and undefended. That is how the transforming power of grace finds us freshly and either dissolves structures of our ego or revitalizes something within us that we didn't even have access to before. But either way, we're transformed. And the metaphor for all these dimensions that has something to do with water. And so the reason why my book cover has a waterfall on it is because that is how the transforming power of grace feels. If we feel this majestic waterfall throughout our consciousness and it transforms powerfully what it touches. And so the fourth dimension of grace is really about becoming a graceful human being in this world, learning to stabilize our realization so that we can live in what seems like two worlds, the ordinary world and the mystical world, both at the same time, not either, not or, both and. And this is extremely important right now because that is how our world gets to be transformed. When more of us, you and I, learn to get more grounded in that which is real, open our heart to all that arises, and let all the divine qualities like compassion, forgiveness, joy, deep clarity move through our bodies, hearts, and minds in responsive, beautiful, elegant actions in and amidst it all. So I really take the reader on a powerful journey through all these dimensions of grace and how they help us very practically at every stage of the path to become a more graceful, spiritually elegant human being in our world.
That's what I want the listeners to understand about this book, because you're hearing conversation, but not yet seeing, and I'm going to say not yet, because I know this book is going to land in everybody's hands, but it has very beautiful practices, and they begin with inquiries, my favorite word, and so every single one of these, as you read, yes, and there are magnificent mystical poetry quotes, and your heart opens and opens, but then to bring it into your being, there are things that you can do, reflect on, ask yourself, take into deep soul writing, meditate with practices. So it would be fabulous, Miranda, if people could have a taste one of these practices. And as you talk about, I mean, I'm underlining all of them. Surrender. Oh, that's my favorite word on the planet. Mm-hmm. Humility, patience, joy, trust, forgiveness. I just had three prayer intensives on deep, the deepest possible forgiveness following the shamanic Hawaiian practice of Ho'oponopono.
I want to say something about that, if I may.
Please.
I wrote a lot about forgiveness in my first book, Boundless Love, and I challenged myself to say something that I have not seen said about how forgiveness happens in the terrain that is most difficult for us, especially as it relates to not just our personal sufferings and heartbreaks, but the collective heartbreak, how we deal with the tough terrain of hatred, envy, rage, that if you look at our world stage, clearly we haven't yet mastered how to deal with that. So how does forgiveness help us work with that stuff that, you know, we don't want to admit we have, but is part of the human condition? So there's an exceptionally powerful chapter on forgiveness from a non-dual perspective that I haven't seen written anywhere, and a deep practice on how to really work with that takes someone into what I call the heart cave of absolute love. So I'm wondering, given that I'm talking about this, maybe we should take them into that practice. It's a little long, but I'll do an abbreviated version.
That sounds absolutely perfect for us, for our world, absolutely.
All right.
Take us into the cave.
All right. So, dear ones, as you're just sitting here, I invite you just to take a couple of deep breaths and turn your focus inwards for a moment, or if you're someone who likes to journal, have your writing materials in front of you. And just be with the natural rise and fall of your breath that welcomes you exactly where you are and invites you to melt just right here where you are. So take a moment to explore a grievance that you have, some hurt either you've given or some hurt that you've received. Or perhaps something that hurts your heart about what's going on in the world, what you perceive as the really impossible, stuck situations of our world that have hate in them. So just let yourself bring that to mind without judging you or anyone. What is a hurt, a heartbreak that you've either given, witnessed, or received, that you recognize you need help to truly be free of? So whatever comes into your awareness, trust that. And let's go into the heart cave with it. So feel yourself journeying in and back to the very back of your heart. Where you find this cave that is dark and quiet. And in that heart cave, there is an empty altar. Just an empty altar and a beam of light upon that altar. So lay upon that inner altar of the heart cave the impossible hurts, the hurts you can't get past for whatever reason, the hurts you've dished out, intentional or unintentional, or the impossible sufferings of our world, the impossible hatred, division. Ask for liberating grace to restore you to the truth behind all of this hurt. Lay on the heart cave your judgments, anything you have rejected as bad or wrong about yourself, about another, about any groups of people. Lay your most significant relationships on this inner altar of the heart cave. Lay everything you find heartbreaking in our world on this inner altar. The terrorism, the political insanity, the inhumanity. Now lay yourself on that inner altar. And allow the grace to find you. Feel, see, or sense the transparent, cleansing aquamarine mist that pervades everything and everyone that's been placed on this altar. It might feel like a soft healing vapor. Allow this presence of forgiveness to cleanse all errors at the source. Unwind all distortions. Remove all veils. And restore everyone to indestructible innocence. Complete unity and our original pristine condition. In this depth of heart, all duality falls away. And now you can let this question ripple through you. In body, in heart, in mind. What's it like in the heart cave of absolute love? Notice the sensations. Notice the actual felt quality. Notice what you're aware of. What's it like in the heart cave of absolute love? Breathe, feel, see. What's it like in the heart cave of absolute love? Your experience may not have words, but you can follow the sensations. You can let the direct interior felt experience to show you what truly is always shining in the core of your being.
That's the question. What is it like in the heart cave of absolute love? It's a truly beautiful practice, meditation, experience. And as you were saying at the beginning, that the feel the back of your heart.
Yeah.
That I had this experience a couple of years ago when I stumbled into, I didn't know it was the beginning of this prayer artist experience, but I see now that it was, of praying for someone. And I simply began to have this experience of looking them in the eye. They weren't physically present, but seeing them in front of me. And I wanted to pray for them. And I felt Sophia, the name of the divine for me, rising out of my back, mm-hmm. exactly behind my heart.
Right.
And looking at this person through my eyes. So I perceive her behind me, kind right. of, sort of. But then through my eyes in this infinity symbol, the Mobius strip, looking into that person's eyes and touching the divine of them who rises out of their heart. And there's never been anything like this. So I drew it in my journal. And the very first time I had the experience, this astonishing miracle on the surgery table happened for the person that I was praying. So I kind of looked around and went, well, now, okay. And I began to practice it. I call it the love, loving, love meditation. So love, capital L, is loving the movement between me and, but love is loving love, capital L, love. The divine in me is madly in love with the divine in you. So it's just so beautiful that you took us to the back of our hearts.
Yeah, well, the whole human body is a very mystical system. There's so much more to it than we know. And so I was riffing off something that Ramana Maharshi said, where he says, in the depth of the heart, there is a cave where the I lives, which is the I before me. He says, this is the only reality. And so when we journey into that depth of the heart, we feel most ourselves, actually. We're really into the primordial depth. And the word absolute is just the most essential, the most primordial. And its nature is love. And so it can handle things that our personalities just can't. And so I find it very helpful. My students have found it very helpful to know that there is a place we can go to with the things that are just really tough. And we all have things in our life, even when we've been on the path a very long time, that can really trip us up and can be hard to really come back from. And I find that spiritual practice in those junctures has the most power to really grow us and transform us. We learn how to work with them. So I'm hoping that that little practice that was a blend of meditation and inquiry, that normally we would do the inquiry part for like 10 or 15 minutes. So you can imagine journeying with a friend asking you, what's it like in the heart cave of absolute love for 15 minutes? Oh, no idea the universes that open up. So one of the things that I'm sharing with this book is we're creating a whole Facebook community through my Facebook page, Miranda McPherson Teachings. We started a book group. So helping people to find a spiritual friend and practice these things together, even in places all over the world. And then I'll be giving some Facebook Live teachings to support the people who actually form a book study group.
So I'll post that on our Facebook page.
I really want people to be supported to really put this stuff into practice, because that's where the real transformation happens.
And your website, we'll post that as well.
Great, yeah, MirandaMcPherson.com and also thewayofgracebook.com. So I really want viewers to know about that, because that's a website I put together where there's so many downloadable audio and video material that will help deepen and expand your experience of the book. And a lot of it's free. So.
And all of that, listeners, will be posted on Jane O'Connor, the soul-directed life, so that you can easily find it. So in our final moment, Miranda, does the Way of Grace have a little kiss for us?
It sure does. I would say that grace is always present. While we imagine it as something somewhere in us high in the sky, really grace is always here in the heart. And when our mind merges in the heart, we find that grace rushes forth, sprouting as if a spring from within you. And this spring that Ramana described it as, I was just quoting Ramana, is so beautiful because it comes to us in the ways in which we need. So I'll end with a quote from Annie Lamott, which she said, I don't always claim to know the mystery of grace, but what I can say is that it meets us where we are, but never leaves us where it found us.
That's perfect.
It always meets us where we are, but never leaves us where it found us.
Well, and I would say that about you and about your book.
Thank you.
What you just gave us in this hour met us exactly where we are.
I'm glad.
And definitely carried us to a new opening, a new taste of absolute love in your book, The Way of Grace. Absolutely.
And also, I just want the listeners to know as well that it's recorded in an audiobook too. And it's very rare that a book like this is done in, as an unabridged, but I'm delighted to say it's the whole book from start to beginning, mm-hmm. with me leading every single meditation, every single inquiry, every single prayer. And guess what? They also allowed me to create my own music beds for the meditation. So the music underneath some of the meditations is actually me playing harmonium and using vocal overtone. It's a real treat. And I had a wonderful time in the studio with Sounds True producing it. So for people that love audiobooks, you'll love that. As you'll probably love my other audiobook, Meditations on Boundless Love. And you can find them all very easily. It's all with Sounds True. So
thank you so much. Yeah, the minute we hang up, my fingers are itching to go find the audio book.
Read it and reap.
Exactly. Well, you have given us so much grace to reap. Thank you, Miranda McPherson and The Way of Grace.
Thank you, Janet.
What an extraordinary final month we are having on the Soul Directed Life. And do you know who is with us next week? Mark Nepo. Mark Nepo has probably been on the show more than any other guest, in part because he is so prolific, but every single one of his books just cracks my heart open. Every single one of his books is a taste of absolute love, and his newest book, just like Miranda's, is so perfect for the moment today. Mark's book, More Together Than Alone, do you think there could be a more important concept than community right now? Be with us next week with Mark Nepo, More Together Than Alone. And until then, come to JanetConnor.com and register for The Lotus and the Lily to allow absolute love of grace to flow through you to create 2019, the year in which you are asked to birth your sacred medicine to heal our world.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.